This is the Android Buffet Podcast, episode number 392, recorded Thursday, April 19th, 2018, in 5, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Another exciting episode of the Android Buffet Podcast.
Another exciting episode where there's Android stuff, and there's home automation stuff, and there's other news stuff, and there's me, and there's you.
And how are you, Jerry?
Oh man, have I had a day at work, and it's not over yet. So to our loyal listeners, I apologize sincerely from the bottom of my heart if today's episode is a little bit shorter than you would have liked.
And if it makes you feel better, Jerry, before it was time for the episode, I was sitting here working. I would like to not be working, but there's stuff I'm trying to catch up on for tomorrow.
You know, sometimes the guys that give us a paycheck, they need stuff from us.
Well, for me, I had this nerve to spend a couple of days off,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still trying to catch up.
That's just not right when you take time off from work and it's not actually time off from work because you're going to have to catch up.
Well, it would be nice if there was somebody who was supposed to be doing the same job as me who actually could pick up the slack when I go away like I did when they went away for 6 weeks. But apparently that person's too busy.
Too busy.
Yeah, well, I'll remember that the next time they go away.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway, that said, there are new Android distribution numbers.
All right. Anything exciting happen?
For some reason, they skip March.
Why would they do that?
I don't know, but it's been 2 months. Maybe they don't think we deserve to know how well Oreo is doing, because it's all the way up at 4.6%.
Which is up from 1.1%.
Yeah, so they skipped a month, so we don't know in between what it was.
Maybe it's a huge jump. Maybe it was a little jump. We don't know. And but it's good to say that Oreo is getting up into the almost 5%.
And nougat's at 30.8%.
Yay.
Marshmallow's at 26. So at the very least, there's a large percentage that's on the last three versions.
That is good.
It is. Let's see. They announced that WebView, which is the thing where a app can launch basically a stripped down web browser.
Yep.
Will be configured with safe browsing, which is the thing that where Google tells you if a site is bad.
I'm surprised it didn't already have this. I thought this was the thing that came from Google, but apparently it's built into the browser itself. So go WebView. Cool.
Yep. And let's see here. There was a release candidate for Android Things.
Android Things.
We've talked about this. Android yep. Things, I think it was, I forget what the old name was. Was it Weave or something with a B? So basically it's their...
Bits and Bobs?
It's sort of their Internet of Things version of Android.
Right.
So they did showcase at CES products from partners. So basically, Amazon has the Echo Show, which is basically a video version of their Echo. Google didn't announce that they're making a product like that, but there are a bunch of video devices with the Google Assistant on it, which are apparently powered by Android Things, if I remember correctly.
Cool.
So if you look at the link, they basically voice-activated speakers that are powered by Android Things, and again, smart displays.
Smart displays.
Well, that's what
we call those computers.
No, that's more like the Echo Show or the Echo Spot.
It's a computer. Has a monitor, has input, has a computer.
Again, that means if they're at the release candidate, they're eventually going to go to version 1 or whatever version they're starting out with.
Cool.
Well, eventually that means I will buy an Android Things thing.
Alrighty.
There's a good article about some interesting and wonderful features in Android P that will be coming up, such as notch support.
Yeah, so yay.
Well, again, if you have to have a notch, you should support it. I'm in favor of, if you have to have a notch, that it should be supported. I'm not necessarily saying I'm in favor of a notch existing.
Now, my understanding is that this is not so much Android P that is supporting the notch as it is the developer tools will support emulating a notch.
Well, how else would you test your notch?
I don't know.
HDR and HEIF support. These are,
That's high dynamic range pictures and high efficiency image format, right?
Yes.
So it's kind of like a JPEG, but better?
It can store twice as much data using the same size as a JPEG.
Wow. That's cool.
So again, new image formats. Indoor navigation using Wi-Fi RTT.
Round trip time. So it can tell how far it is from the Wi-Fi?
Yeah. Now I'm wondering about this. Does this actually need supported devices on both sides? Because I don't know anything about Wi-Fi RTT, which is IEEE 802.11mc. So the question is, what do I have to do in order to make my router work with it now? Because I assume my router needs to support it.
I don't know.
Well, I know that I've been wanting to basically implement Find, which I have read about, which is the same basic concept, which is Wi-Fi to do internal positioning. Are you familiar with Find?
No.
Visit internalpositioning.com.
Oh, nothing.
Oh, not cooperating?
Internalpositioning.com.
Yeah, that's it.
Nope.
Or you can go to Shulls on GitHub, github.com/Shulls, S-C-H-O-L-L-Z, and then it's Find, or is it Find 3? I forget. I think Find 3 is the current version. High positioning, high precision indoor positioning framework version 3.
Cool. And what does it use?
Wi-Fi. Wow. It also supports Bluetooth and magnetic fields, and there's passive scanning, and then there's, of course, you can have a server. So there's a whole API that you could get involved in. It's very interesting. So it's a framework. It consists of a data storage server, a machine learning server, a command line tool for gathering fingerprints, an Android app for gathering fingerprints, and, of course, a code for an ESP8266 if you want to use an embedded.
That sounds complicated.
I have a whole pile of Pi zeros. I have to do something with them. But, again, I'd like to get better internal positioning.
I would agree. And a rotation button.
Well, you forgot the multi-camera API and more informative notifications.
Ooh, multi-camera API. Does that mean like 3D API? An API for like dual cameras?
Well, no. If your phone has more than one camera, there is now an API. Must do. Yeah, but there is now an API for them to both be. So this is when there are two cameras on the back.
Oh, like 3D stuff.
Not necessarily. You have other things where they use two cameras as sort of a balancing and then composite the pictures together. Not everything's 3D. For example, my camera actually does have two lenses, so it would benefit from this. And also more informative notifications are part of this. I've silenced you, Jerry. Jerry. This usually means he put himself on mute and totally forgot.
No, my headset ran out of battery, so I had to plug it in.
Okay.
But I'm back now.
Okay. So Google Maps has school and gym labels that will apparently be implemented. So it will also, Android P, I forgot about that, will automatically remember Bluetooth A2DP device volume levels individually.
Oh, that's so sweet.
I have some stuff I need to do with Bluetooth. I have an Echo Dot that I kept in my bedroom.
Yep.
And I had an Amazon tablet that I kept in my bedroom that I had mounted on the wall to act as a controller for some of my home automation stuff. Now an Amazon tablet can act as an Echo Dot and do the same wake word listening. So that means I don't need two devices in there.
Nice.
Yep. I just need to hook it up to my Bluetooth speaker in the room. Anyway, that's a project. Android P. Well, yep.
I like the multiple. I mean, how often do you have a headset that you hook up and you want the volume, you know, kind of moderate, right?
And then you have a
speaker. And then you hook it up to your car and you want the phone, and you want the volume maxed out, so that you can control it on the car. So I'm excited about that. I like it. I'm happy with that. That makes me, I'm all giggly inside.
I'm glad.
I like being giggly.
Android P will support a global DNS setting and DNS over TLS.
That's nice. So you can set your DNS to the 1.1.1.1, and it will use that DNS regardless of the DRCP? No.
DHCP.
DHCP.
Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol.
Regardless of what DHCP says. And I DHCP. Think that's straight awesome.
DHCP.
Isn't that what I said?
No.
DHCP.
Yeah, now you have it.
Cool, DHCP.
So do you use DNS over TLS?
I don't know. Did you know that CloudFront supports DNS over Twitter?
Over Twitter?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It is.
Well, I decided that I was going to support more security in my DNS implementation here at my home.
Mm-hmm.
So I implemented DNSSEC.
Ooh, that's heavy.
How so?
Well, one of the reasons that, okay, so DNS, the basic version we've been using for the last, you know, 10, 15 years, is UDP-based, right?
Yeah, more than 10 or 15 years.
And it's, I mean, it's really lightweight, and yet the core servers are the home's core servers?
Root servers. Yes.
The root servers are, they ride pretty close to the limit of being overloaded.
By the way, Bind was first written in 1984, so more than 15 years.
Okay. So, like 16?
No, like 34.
The
original version of Bind.
That was close.
If you say so.
And one of the reasons why DNSSEC has been so slow to roll out is because it would triple the load on servers.
You're talking about the load time or the amount of processing?
I believe bandwidth and round trips.
Well, what I've been doing is DNSSEC is now being handled at the router level. I'm not doing it inside the house. So basically, I have a caching DNS server inside my house, which is operating DNSSEC out. So DNSSEC basically adds security, but maintains backward compatibility. So any server that doesn't support it will go back to the older insecure version. So all answers from DNSSEC protected zones are digitally signed. So all it does is check the digital signature and compares it to whether or not the information is unmodified and complete and served by an authoritative DNS server.
Cool.
So it doesn't provide anything in regards to encryption. That's DNS over TLS, or there's the new one, DNS over HTTPS. So all it does is make sure that nobody is spoofing the information.
Which has value.
Yeah, it does not make sure that the information is hidden from other people. But the question is, do I care if anybody knows what DNS servers I'm looking up, or what, or do I care whether or not I'm getting correct information? I care about
probably a little bit of both.
Well, I mostly care about correct information. At some point, I may do DNS over TLS, but I thought I would wait. I do one thing at a time in terms of when I'm concerned that I'm going to slow down my experience. I don't want to do everything at the same time because I wouldn't know which of the things caused the problem. Also, I don't have an infinite amount of time in the world, so I try to spread it out. So that's that. Anybody have any other thoughts on DNS? I'm always happy to hear it, but it is nice that Android P is getting on board with these more secure settings.
I completely 100% agree.
On a mobile device, I'm more concerned about encrypting my DNS only because I might be on a public network. I'm not as concerned in my house. I think that's sort of a better way of putting it.
Sure.
Let's see. Some Android OEMs have been discovered to be lying about what they're doing with security patches. Lying being misleading. So once a month, Google updates their security bulletin and releases new monthly patches. So even though many of these companies are slow to update their hardware, the patches, it's been discovered that some of them claim to have updated when they actually didn't do anything.
It's funny.
So, for example, Samsung Galaxy's J3 claimed to have 12 patches that weren't installed on the phone. When they looked, Sony, Samsung, Wiko, 0 or 1 missed patches, Motorola, LG, Huawei, HTC S3 to 4, Xiaomi, OnePlus, Nokia only 1 to 3, and 4 or more TCL and ZTE. So it is possible that I may have an LG or a Motorola phone at some point, because I currently have a Motorola phone, and they're doing 3 to 4 missed patches.
Wow.
Google is basically launching an investigation to basically find out from these individuals why they're lying. It's one thing if they say they haven't patched something, but why would you say you patched something when you didn't?
I don't know.
I'm curious to see. Google.
The same face?
Google had a statement that they were going to be doing something about this. I'm wondering why these manufacturers didn't have one. Anyway, moving on to some home automation news. You know that I use Home Assistant.
I've heard that.
Yes. Well, Home Assistant was basically founded by Paula Schatzen. I don't know. Or Schatzen. I don't know. I've never heard the guy's name spoken out loud. He has been hired by Ubiquiti Networks, who support the goal of making it easier to configure. So basically, they're not hiring him to work at Ubiquiti. They're hiring him to work on Home Assistant full-time. So they're basically sponsoring him.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And he'll be apparently there's a picture in the article about him at the New York City Ubiquiti office. So maybe if we're lucky, they'll have a meetup. I'll go down there and get to talk about Home Assistant to somebody. But basically, from what I understand, and I heard him talking about it on a podcast, Night Visual, as I said, basically, they're not going to, according to him, influence the product in any way. They're not going to have him work on integrations. If their people are working out, fine. But they do want to deepen the integration of their products in Home Assistant, and they may support hosting it on their hardware. But they're not going to have him diverting from making the project better in order to help with that. They said that they want the project to be better and easier for people to use, and that will have the positive effect of making it more sensible to have the device installed on their equipment. And the nice thing about Ubiquiti is that most of their software that controls their stuff is not cloud hosted. You can host it yourself. For example, I have a Ubiquiti access point, and their software is running on my server that controls it.
Nice.
So they have a little web-based tool that you can install and control everything.
All right.
So that leaves us with one or two more things. Google Voice integration with Sprint will end on June 1st. So if you integrated your Google Voice account with Sprint, that don't work no more.
Oh, no. Or it won't work after June 1st.
Yes. Well, it doesn't quite work now. That's why they're disabling it entirely.
That's funny.
And there was an interesting article asking, why do we have to reset our phones?
Because they're computers.
Why do you have to reset your computer?
Because I run Windows.
But you understand my point, and the author of this article's point. Why is it that we have these devices that the only way to get them to run reliably is to periodically reset them back to factory? That why is the software not more reliable to begin with? And again, while I understand, you know, over time, things do break down and have to be cleaned. Even if you have a car, occasionally you have to service your car.
Mm-hmm.
I still have to agree with the idea, why is it that things have to be, that the solution that the company always suggests is wipe the thing up? I think I will say that it is entirely too easy for tech support to say, why don't you just factory reset the device instead of actually trying to figure out what the problem is?
Would you? Sure.
Well, that's yes. The thing. You know, you call your cable company. You tell them there's a problem with your cable box. They say, did you unplug it and plug it back in again? Do you know what I always used to say to them when they tell me that?
No.
Yes, I did, because you always ask me that, and I always proactively do it before calling you because I don't want to have you have me do it again. And do you know what they say after that?
Do it again?
Yes. Could you please unplug it and unplug? Okay. Do you learn something more by it happening while you're on the phone? No. Anyway, thus is life. So that brings us to the end of our short show. You have a work-related emergency.
Yep.
I hope it works out.
Me too. I'm sure it will.
And our well wishes are with you for success in this endeavor.
Thank you.
Don't work.
Thank you very much.
Don't work too hard.
You have a good night, and everybody else have a great week.
And we'll be back next week. When does that Thursday thing end, by the way?
Well, I don't know.
Okay. Just asking.
Me too.
Okay. Bye now.
All right. Bye.
That brings us to the end of another episode. Please tune in next week.